Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
Nice, Greg.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. And we got a little bit of a show here for you. Asa finally saw a Toy Story. I'm just going to let him have like a quick, you know, minute and a half here.
It was good. Like full the what we talked about last week of it being full price is, you know, our prediction was accurate. It's not as concrete of a full price as I would have hoped it would have been, mostly because I just of how much I loved 3. And this one told a wholly different story. Like, this one was more focused on Woody. Beautiful movie. Like, super, of course, well animated. My only gripe is we saw there were more humans, like, that I feel like, than what we're used to seeing in a Toy Story movie. Like, and maybe it's because it's been a while since I've seen 1, 2, and 3. But I don't remember. Like, Bonnie's family is very heavily featured in this. And they just all look weird. Like, they're good at making toys. They're just their peoples are not.
I mean, the people always look clean. They've always looked weird in the Toy Story movies.
And maybe it's just and there are other humans that we see, which I won't get into. But like, her family specifically is just kind of like, I don't get it. It's like, I don't see where you're going with this. But it was good. This kind of feels. I'm going to say with the same thing we said after 3, this feels like a good closing chapter of, okay, we have now seen our last Toy Story movie. So, but again, we saw that in 3 and then.
Which was about 10 years ago.
Was Toy Story 3 really 10 years ago?
Oh, I can't imagine that's true.
It's 9 to 10. I'm pretty sure. I'm IMDb.
I don't know. Either way.
Was I in college when that movie came
out? I was in high school.
No, I'm pretty sure. Like, I know I was.
Oh, God. And it's been almost 10 years since I've gotten out of high school.
Yeah.
Or out of college.
Yeah,
it's
so
been more
it
than 10 years
long.
Out of high
school. Toy Story 3, 2010. By the way, it's 2019.
Yeah, no, we're aware.
Yeah. I actually made myself sad with a similar joke. So I went to my second of 3 Smash tournaments yesterday. And, yeah, I know.
I've heard this one.
Yeah, I had 3 this week. And there was this kid was talking about, like, yeah, you wouldn't be complaining about, you know, this character if you had played Brawl. And I was like, yeah, I played Brawl. Kid, I've been playing Smash longer than you've been alive. I just made that joke because he's an 18-year-old kid. And it was a joke. And then I started doing the math. I'm like,
oh no.
I have been playing Smash for longer than he's been alive. Because the kid was born the same year that Melee came out. And I've been playing Smash since 64 came out.
Ooh. Now you're sad.
Yeah, I made, like, it was one of those things, like, I made this joke about him being a kid, and then I was like, oh, I've made myself sad.
Old man yells at cloud.
Yeah, because I think, like, me and Pat were the oldest people that went to that tournament yesterday. Surrounded by, like,
Kick them off your yard?
Right, yeah, it was mostly, like, kids in their mid-20s, or a lot of the people that were good at the game anyway, but there were... The people that won the game, like the guy that won the tournament is 17. The guy that got second is 18. The guy that got third is, I think he's like 26 or 27.
Oh, that makes me feel good.
Yeah, it made me feel a little better. I got fifth in the tournament at 30.
the old vet.
Pat usually makes it to top 4, and he's 33, I think. 33, 34, something like that. Pat, correct me if I'm wrong. I honestly feel like I should know how old you are. But I don't, because I think Pat listens to Nerd Up. I know he listens to the Thursday show. I don't know if he listens to
his follow-up's going to be, thanks for calling my age out on there, right? Jerk.
I didn't say which Pat. He knows which Pat.
Oh.
I know more than one Pat.
I know one. It's the same one you're talking about.
Fair. All right. On with the news here. Paul Rudd has been confirmed for Ghostbusters 2020. So it was kind of a cool little like clip they did, like in front of the Hook and Ladder station. Mm-hmm. It was neat, and I'm hyped for this movie. I think it's gonna be great.
I clicked on the link, and all it showed me was a kid in a wheelchair plummeting down a hill, and then launching off of a like cliff into water. So I didn't really get it, but I mean, it's cool if it's true. Paul Rudd, he's funny.
I like Paul Rudd a lot. Teen Titans versus I had nowhere to follow that with. Like, I'm sorry.
So many people are going to be so confused. I hope you like Conan. That's all I'm going to say.
Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans got a trailer. Boy, that was rough.
That was.
I did not expect that to derail the entirety of the podcast.
Well, like I knew what you were talking about,
right?
And then it was just like, and then Jesse got there, and it was just that moment of just like, yep, that's a thing that's gonna happen whenever he's on Conan.
Well, and in fairness, like there wasn't any details. We didn't get any information on like a script or story or anything. Now we just know that
he's in it.
Like that's the little bit is that he revealed that he's gonna be part of the project.
Right. So anyway. Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans got a trailer. And this is it's the two Cartoon Network shows, the newer one for little kids and then the older one for, at the time, my age.
And at this time, our age. I still watch it. It's on DC Universe.
It's really good. Yeah, I started rewatching it on I have access to DC Universe. And
is it through my account? Yeah, it is through my account. I forgot my password just now.
You're the one that made it weird. All you could have said is like, yeah, I watch it on DC Universe.
Right. But anyway, I watched it on DC Universe, and yeah, Teen Titans is still good. Like that show holds up, and I really wish they would bring it back. And I'm hoping this movie maybe they bring it back. At least on like DC Universe.
Because wasn't the Teen Titans Go, wasn't there like an end credits thing?
Mm-hmm. And it was setting up this, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So is this going to be a theatrical release, or is this going to be a...
It's straight to Blu-ray.
Straight to Blu-ray, okay.
Yep. Yeah, if they do anything, it'll be like the Fathom events like they did for Killing Joke.
Yeah.
Because they do that, like they'll do like select.
The only reason I ask is because I know Teen Titans Go was a theatrical release.
Yeah, like, Teen so Titans Go was, to the movies.
Yeah, I didn't know if this was going to be like a straight up sequel to that and get its own release, or if it was just a, yeah, we pushed our limit like with that one, so we're just gonna.
Which is, I mean, that one made tons of money too, so I feel like this one probably could work.
About to say, Teen Titans Go is really popular, and I only know that because like of my workplace. Mm-hmm. Like I hear about how popular that show is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, like it's one of those things. Like I'm not even gonna say I'm wrong. Like it's terrible because of my age. Like I'm not the audience. The target audience absolutely goes bonkers over that show. They love it. My nephew, even like my older niece, like really enjoys watching that show.
I've seen it, and like it's not the absolute worst thing in the world. Like, but it's not Teen Titans that we had, because it's the same thing as like I don't even want to say that they just made cartoons better back when we were younger, because Young Justice was still very much whenever I was in high school and early college. So like, and that. I like Young Justice more than I like Teen Titans. So
yeah, that's fair.
It's one of those, like, it's just that show was, those two shows weren't made to sell toys, where Teen Titans was very much made to sell toys.
Yeah, definitely.
So it has kind of like that effect to it.
Yeah, but like, you know, I think back to, you know, when we were kids and we had like Avatar the Last Airbender and Teen Titans and stuff like that on TV.
We also had SpongeBob.
What do you mean we also had SpongeBob? Like SpongeBob was great.
I mean, no, it was, but it's also that like more of that loud comedy where like Teen Titans is very disjointed in that. But like we've also had like our loud cartoons that were just like.
Well, there's also good, like, look at, you know, stuff like Adventure Time and Regular Show and
Steven Universe. And stuff like that.
Like there's still a lot of like great stuff coming out.
Stuff with some
that filters its way through up to people in our age range.
Right.
But like, I mean, yeah, but it's easy to just focus on this is the stuff I don't like. It was better when I was a kid.
Yeah, basically that thing that every generation does about the generation following them.
Hey, we had a good discussion about that, though. We weeded out the ones we liked and we didn't.
No, I'm not saying that's what we're saying. It's just like, when we were used, what we like is Young Justice and Teen Titans, like the regular Teen Titans, but then they make something different, not necessarily worse, but because it's not what we were, like what we're accustomed to or what we're wanting, it's awful. It's the same thing of like the Ninja Turtles. Like that 2014 run was incredible.
Oh, I loved those movies.
And then we got the Rise of the Ninja Turtles, and like everyone lost their minds with the animation, and yet I have not heard a single negative thing about the show itself.
I haven't heard anything about it since we saw the animations. Yeah. And we talked about it on Nerd Up a while back. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't heard anything bad or in between about it.
Like, I want to check it out. But yeah.
I it's on Hulu.
I don't know. I mean, it's a Nickelodeon show, so probably not. Like, Nickelodeon has their own, like, you can just watch stuff on their website.
Oh, because I remember watching the...
They'll put some stuff on Nick, but not everything.
Yeah, it's one of those, because I remember watching the Turtles show, like the one that you're talking about.
Yeah.
That one was on Hulu, and that's how I watched it.
And they also had, like, some... Nickelodeon used to have a deal with Netflix where a bunch of their stuff would be on there. Like, Avatar The Last Airbender was on there.
It had been on Hulu more recently, but it's kind of like... It's that deal where they won't have everything. It'll like they might have episodes. Like the last like three seasons worth maybe, And then the most current one, yeah, they'll probably only have like the last
five
episodes.
There's no way that new Turtles show has more than three seasons, though.
No, that's what I mean, though. Yeah. It's like it may not have like, it may have stuff from like seasons 2 and 3. Because I'm willing to bet we've probably got about 3 seasons worth by now.
I remember the Rise of the
Ninja Turtles?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be surprised if they had started season 2 by now.
Yeah, because they announced season 2 before season 1 started.
Right, yeah, they said they were going to do 2 seasons of it, but yeah, I would be surprised if season 2 was finished.
I'm pretty sure I have Hulu on my phone.
Because I don't think it was that long ago that we were talking about the art style.
Oh, it's because, well, part of it was, so it didn't air until July of last year.
Yeah.
So yeah, it more than likely is because that animation thing happened like 6 months before that.
Right.
Yeah, oh, the really good series is still on there, though.
Really?
Yeah.
On Hulu?
All right. All 5 seasons, too.
So the point is, we got Teen Titans versus Teen Titans Go. I didn't see a release date on there, but it is coming direct to Blu-ray, and it will be almost certainly soon. They usually announce that stuff like a couple of months before it comes out. I thought it was weird that I didn't see a release date on there. Maybe I just didn't see it, and it actually was there. I don't know. But I'm pretty confident there was no release date. Moving on, though, Noah Hawley has confirmed he's been in talks with Kevin Feige over a Doctor Doom movie.
Hmm.
The only bummer about that is it means there's not one currently in progress.
Okay, so we give Sony hell because of stuff like this, and it's only fair that I say the exact same thing. A Doom solo movie is a terrible idea. I will see it day one, yes. But without the context of who he is in the MCU, be it through the Fantastic Four, put him in Spider-Man, even. Like, we need to establish Doom before he gets a solo movie.
No, I mean, I don't disagree. Like, basically, I'm reading this not as a Doctor Doom solo movie, but an MCU movie where Doom is the bad guy.
Which would be way better. The way that headline reads to me is that they're in talks.
They're
of
just
doing
going straight
Doom
to infamous Iron Man or something like that. Yeah.
Not even that, but like they are going straight to a Doom movie.
No, I guess that's fair. Yeah, because if you make like a movie like about the Fantastic Four and call it Doctor Doom, that would be real dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could see like them doing. I mean, well, it's not in the MCU tagline. Like they could do a subtitle with Doom. But see, yeah, it would be really unusual for like
Fantastic Four, Days of Doom.
This is just straight up like nerd privilege, like whiny. I want my toy exactly how I want it, and if they don't do it, they shouldn't do it at all. Type thing.
That's way too pointed.
Yeah, no, because again, I understand what I sound like.
Yeah,
I am the problem here. I get that, but look at what they did with Thanos. Doom is every bit of Thanos.
Yeah.
So I want him handled with the same. Like care respect. And patience and respect that they got the big purple Titan because they could do that. And a solo movie would imagine if in like
right after Guardians, we had a Thanos
like,
movie.
If like in phase 2 Thanos, or just the mad Titan, like,
no,
that ain't going to work as well.
It's one of those things with Dr. Doom. Yeah, no, he's a way better villain than Thanos, and he has obviously at points in the history been more powerful than Thanos. But, like, I feel like there should be an in-between. Like, I don't think that Doom should be a one-and-done villain. Like, he shouldn't be the Vulture or, any of these other, like, Crossbones or bad guys that you show up in, like, one movie and then gone.
And that's what I'm talking about. Have him, like, Thanos was in the background. Like, we have seen him multiple times through multiple movies playing small parts. And then eventually he comes through, and it is a event when it happens. Like, and that's what I want.
So basically, yeah, what I'm wanting is, like, I want the introduction of Doom, into the MCU, not, like, beyond, you know, whatever movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they give us Fantastic Four, and they set up Dr. Doom, Dr. Doom's the bad guy.
That's what I'm still hoping for, is the end tag of Spider-Man Far From Home. Is, oh, and here on the right we have the Latverian Embassy.
Yeah,
something like that.
Because basically, what I'm wanting out of Doctor Doom, like before, like any of the heroes, before he like comes out as a bad guy as Doctor Doom, he has purchased and established Latveria.
Yeah,
so he has that diplomatic immunity that stops the Avengers and stuff like that, which we already have. You know, like the. Well, then again, we have no idea what's going to happen with the Accords now in the MCU and all that other stuff. But
part of me thinks that he buys Sokovia.
Oh yeah, that becomes his Latveria.
Sokovia becomes the Latveria.
I could see that.
I spent a lot of time thinking about this. But at the same time, like I say, you know, that I want him in behind the scenes, and like he's constantly being referenced.
Do you
want
to wait 10 more years?
If it means it does, they do it right, yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay.
That said, totally fair. What I would also like is have him be just a touch more on-screen presence, like depending on who they get to cast Dr. Doom, have him actually like appear and interact with certain, like have him interact with, you know, oh, I'm totally blanking on all of their names. Anthony Mackie, have him interact
Falcon
with
Falcon, or
yeah, Soldier, the actual heroes.
Yeah, with Black Panther, like have there be like a really tense UN summit where the leader of Wakanda and the leader of, you know, Sokovia now, Latveria, you know, if he renames it, are having just this like, no, like, nope, you can't do anything. Like because I think Sokovia works so well because of how big of a deal they've made about Sokovia.
Yeah.
Through these other, like through the, you know, first three phases.
Right. And he could talk about how he's, you know, reinvigorated Sokovia, mm-hmm. and like, you know, it's actually a prosperous place to live. Because
they did that with Red Skull in the Secret Empire story, or in the build up to the Secret Empire story.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like you could play off a lot of that and it still would fit, especially with like the climate of today and stuff. So
oh for sure,
there's so many cool ways they could do it, and it just, a standalone movie is like my worst case scenario,
because yeah, like I said, I just don't want, I don't necessarily need like Dr. Doom to be like the Thanos of this wave
injected into my veins.
Like I want it, but I don't need it, but I definitely need Dr. Doom to be more than a God, I'm losing over here. Jason's mannerism. I definitely need Dr. Doom to be more than a one-off villain. Like yeah. he needs to have several movies where he's a bad guy and being taken care of, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, I don't need him like Marvel Comics. Like you don't need to squeeze all those years of history into like, you know, three films. But yeah, like I said, he definitely needs to be more than one and done. Because the Vulture was phenomenal in Spider-Man Homecoming. Like I've said that earlier. Like I don't want them to give him a Homecoming. Homecoming is still like a solid consolation prize for me. Like I got Doom. I want more Doom. Mm-hmm. But Vulture, because Vulture was the best Vulture's ever been in any form of media.
And that's what I was
going to
say.
In Homecoming,
is the difference is like, yes, that is hands down the best version of Vulture anyone has ever seen anywhere ever.
Right.
The difference is, that's because it's Vulture. Bar's kind of low. He's a B-list at best,
or like
Spidey villain.
Baron Zemo.
That was probably my favorite.
That
like,
one was
villain.
I was a little bummed about.
Yeah,
I thought they did it well, but for what, based on his comic counterpart, I was bummed about it.
Yes, because I don't need him to have the weird pink hood and the crown. Mm-hmm.
But I love the fuzzy arm parts.
But, like, yeah, Baron Zemo is a one and done. Like, I mean, he's still alive. He could come back.
Right.
But we haven't heard anything about
that
him.
That could literally be Doom's right-hand man because he was because of Sokovia.
It absolutely could be. So, yeah, I don't want I don't want Doom to get Zemo'd. Mm-hmm. Where, like, yeah, Zemo was phenomenal in that movie. Like, he was a great bad guy.
Right, but he wasn't. But that's not what the comics.
Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't the comics. Like, they basically gave a name in the comic books to this character.
Yeah.
Like, yes, this is Zemo. And like, yeah, he's, you know, that was his counterpart in the comic books, but he very different characters
like,
all around.
Like what they did with Gregory Salinger in Jessica Jones.
Yeah, exactly. Very different characters all around. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things like it could be I don't want that for Doom. I want Doom to have like, because Thanos in the movies was definitely better than he was in the comic books. But like Thanos was what he was in the comic books with better motivation. Mm hmm. And I want Doom to be that, as opposed to Zemo is just the same name.
The problem too is like there's so much source material for both, like because like even Thanos has been like he has ranged from amazing. Yes, no, he is truly the biggest threat in the Marvel comics, like that they've ever seen. But he's also ranged to just like weirdly throwaway,
yeah,
like random team up villain. And Doom has kind of been the same thing. So it's really easy. I don't know.
It's going to be really easy to mess up, and I don't want them to. Because I mean, if anybody has listened to this show with any amount of frequency, Dr. Doom is like my favorite Marvel villain.
Yeah.
I love Doom. And Infamous Iron Man was incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, gave me even more respect and love for Dr. Doom.
Because it's so, oh, that issue where, like, we get his motivations finally. Chef kiss.
Because I still remember when I told you, it's like, we got his motivation. I need you to read it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the next episode, you're like, so.
because I haven't read it, I'm going to take a prediction. Is it anything along the lines of Superior Spider-Man?
I'm already going to say no. It'd be okay. Like, before you even started talking, it was like, he's not going to get it. Okay. And you did not get it.
Okay, no, I'm just asking.
We'll talk about it after the show.
Yeah.
Yep. For everybody else, go read that run of Infamous Iron Man.
Yep.
It's great. Mm-hmm. Marvel Unlimited is $10 a month. If your local shop doesn't have those trades, like, you can jump on there and read those issues too. Boy, I need to talk to Marvel Unlimited about giving us a kickback, because I think we mention that stuff every week now. Anyway, Taika Waititi, he was the director of Thor Ragnarok.
He sure was.
He's delightful. He is developing a Flash Gordon animated movie.
He made me care about Thor. That's how I know it's going to be good.
And I know it's cheesy, campy, and awful, but I rewatched Flash Gordon like a year ago. I still enjoy that movie.
If there's a series that he gets and he's just like, make this good, yeah, he could do Flash Gordon. Easily.
Well, they've done that once, and it was called Star Wars.
So Taika Waititi could definitely do a good job with Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like an animated, like, awesome Star Wars movie? Yeah. Yeah. That's what George Lucas did. Is he wanted to make a Flash Gordon movie. He couldn't get the rights, so he's like, all right, well, I'll just make my own thing with Millennium Falcons and Slave Leias.
It was really good.
And it was good. So Taika Waititi doing it animated is what the animated part is what makes me most excited.
Yeah.
They're like, because I mean, they can like just really lean into all the cheese and camp if they do it animated, as opposed to like I don't want Flash Gordon to be taken seriously.
No, yeah.
Like, I want this to be a fun movie. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so yeah, that's all the news we got for now. We don't have literally anything else
Other than it's happening and we're excited.
Yeah,
correct. And then the last little bit of news here we got in movies and TV. Henry Cavill is going to play Sherlock Holmes opposite Millie Bobby Brown in the upcoming Enola Holmes movie.
So this is going to be my, like, I have to cash in my credit for, like, nerddom. Is Enola Holmes his daughter, I'm guessing?
Little sister.
Little sister, okay.
Basically it was a young adult book.
Okay.
Written about the younger sister of the already famous Sherlock Holmes. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the big thing that bums me out about this is, like, I know I might be in the minority, at least for the second movie, but I really, really liked the Hugh Jackman Sherlock Holmes movies.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed
Robert Downey
those movies.
Jr.?
Robert Downey Jr. Oh, okay. My God. Yeah.
I love that I stuck with you on that, because I knew what you were talking about.
Because I was also, I was like, wait a minute. I'm confused, because that's what made me really want the scene in Avengers of Martin Freeman being the one saying, yeah, okay, Sherlock, sarcastically, while Strange and Stark are talking to each other.
That would have been pretty great.
That would have been funny.
That would have been really great.
And then Deadpool shows up just, I get it.
His mannerisms today have been on point.
Yeah, no, it's one of those
Hunger
times.
Does.
Like,
makes you funny.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I kind of wish that, like, we had, like, camera just on Asa, though. Like, the rest of us aren't being very funny, but Asa's got the mannerisms on point.
Well,
at the
not
moment.
For the one moment. That might be a little too.
That would definitely have made this not child appropriate. That would have increased that would have taken us up to a PG-13 easy.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that's so that's. I really, really liked the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock movies. I enjoyed the crap out of those.
Mm-hmm. But I don't remember the second one, but I do remember really, really liking the first one.
Yeah.
The first one was incredible. The second one wasn't as good, but I still really liked it.
Mm-hmm. It's probably that thing where it's like you knew what you were getting into now, whereas that first one, it's like, all right, well, let's see what this is. Oh, this is great. Oh, they're making another one. All right, cool.
Yeah.
My greatest fear for that Into the Spider-Verse sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Just that...
Yeah, and I'm really happy. So for folks out there that haven't seen Into the Spider-Verse, I just want to throw this out here real quick. It got added to Netflix.
You have no excuse.
You needs to see it.
Required viewing.
And I've already seen it, guys.
this is one that Dalton has seen.
Don't let Dalton have one up on you.
Yeah. That's Woo! Where I was going with it. Yeah, seen it, you got a problem.
Yeah, no, that's the tag right there. That's the challenge. Yeah, if Dalton has seen this movie, ooh.
I had two friends be like, so we're finally watching it, and I'm like... How? It's been on Blu-ray for like a month now. Well, it's on Netflix now. It's been on Blu-ray for a month. I have the Steelbook.
I also have the Steelbook.
It's such so a pretty. It's a pretty Steelbook. So pretty. Yeah. I'm not a Steelbook guy like you, but that's a pretty Steelbook.
Kevin texted me yesterday, the day before. It was yesterday. He texted me. He was like, "So Spider-Verse is on Netflix right now." I was like, "Yes." Yes, it is.
Now this just means I don't have to put a disc in to watch it. Now I can just watch it on my phone.
We needed something to replace The Office, and we got it.
Just put that on every night before, like, going to sleep, whatever.
You'll never sleep. How can you fall asleep during that movie?
Because I've seen it so many times, like, watching it in my head.
Just the best superpower, just close your eyes. Be like, what's he doing? End of Spider-Verse is on.
Kingpin just showed up. He's really happy.
I'm not happy about that block. But anyway, so yeah, that's going to do it for movies and TV here. And the next portion of our podcast.
Just real quick, I will say, like, hearing this casting kind of makes me, like, now it's like, oh, yes, I do want to see Henry Cavill as Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, like, that casting was really cool. And then Millie Bobby Brown, like, in those two in a movie, like, I'm cool with it. Like, that makes me happy.
I'm not as big on her as everybody else just because I'm not as big as on Stranger Things as everybody else. But, like, yeah, no, like, give me that. That's one of those, like, oh, now that you've said it, I can't believe I had never, like, thought of that.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of perfect.
It a little bit. Like, I mean, not necessarily Superman Henry Cavill. Like, he's going to.
Well, no, he'll have the mustache.
They won't have to CG it out. anyway, yeah, just like my Sherlock's not, you know, ripped beyond all reason like Henry Cavill was for those Superman movies.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to. But other than that, like, yeah, I love Henry Cavill in this role because, yeah, I mean, I love Henry Cavill. It's not his fault that those movies were awful.
No, yeah. he did nothing wrong other than
being him.
Not shave a mustache.
Bless America. Yeah. So this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. I'm about to talk about some new books. If you are interested in these books, you can go to Villainous Grounds, tell them you want them on day one. They'll set you up a box. It's free. And when it comes out, they'll pull it for you. You go in, you buy it. You don't have to worry about it selling out because you're going to want some of these books. Yeah. DC has hit a whole bunch of news in this last week. Starting with Shuddering Vertigo Comics, which has been around for a real long time.
Which, I don't remember if we talked about, if it was in the group chat or like somewhere we talked about, like, because they are actually replacing Vertigo with Black Label.
Yes, that was the group chat, I'm pretty sure.
Which, like, I assumed was not going to be a thing that they were going to do. Like, I assumed it's like, oh, they are just now moving away and, like, they're going to call, you know, these independent, like, those independent books something different. But nope, it's all just going to be part of
Black Label.
Now there's the three, they have the three main imprints and they're based on, they're separated by age.
Yep, because they want to streamline all the input, or all the imprints. Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of people, like, despite DC's best efforts, that didn't know Vertigo was part of DC Comics.
What's the three imprints of DC?
I'm getting to it.
Okay, I was like, I know it's Black Label and DC, but I don't know what the third is.
DC Kids. So basically now they've got like the DC Kids line, they have then DC for the regular stuff, and then they have Black Label, which isn't necessarily mature rated. But
if you want to see Batman's dong, you gotta go to Black Label for that.
Right. And boy, people were upset about that bat dong.
Wasn't big enough?
It was there. That's the problem.
Oh, they were just upset that it was there?
And yeah. It wasn't like a little side thing? Like,
no, it was full panel, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
It was full panel.
I was just upset it didn't have its own belt.
Panel and a half.
Yeah. folks, Batman.
He doesn't use guns, but Batman is packing heat.
I'm so happy I threw. I'm sorry for derailing for that, but I just
that was
you got
fine.
Good banter
was,
out of
that
him.
Was good. Yeah, no, that's one of those things. Like, it is canon that Batman is hung like a horse is what we're getting at, folks. Thanks to DC Black Label.
What was that? It was my best attempt at a whinny while still laughing.
DC Shuddering Vertigo. Yeah, like I said, been an imprint for a long time. That's been their M-rated content. But yeah, I think they just want everything that they put out to have DC in it. Just, you know, that product awareness stuff. And yeah, no, Black Label, like, I get why they're moving it there because it has DC in the title. But I was definitely also surprised that they're just going to start, like, they're going to start producing, like, content that would have been in Vertigo in Black Label.
Right.
Because originally I thought Black Label was just supposed to be
DC characters.
Yeah, actual, like, yeah, the DC characters, you know, mm-hmm. not just, like, Swamp Thing and stuff like that, but...
And that's how it started, too, but now it seems like they are opening this up to all these other books yep. that we've... Because, you know, we talked about the... well, no, I guess that last one we talked about, Tinian, last week was Boom.
Yeah, that was a Boom comic. But we did get several books announced for Black Label that would fall under that Vertigo umbrella, starting with The Last God, which is book one of the Fellspire Chronicles, apparently. Which, did you look at the artwork for that?
Not until just now, and it's because I'm going through it, and because again, like we talked about it last week when I talked about that Tinian book, the Something is Killing the Children, that like my I have that weird block that comic books are for superheroes. I get that there are some amazing stories told through the medium of comic book that I have not read yet, but because it's like, no, it's not superheroes, I don't care. So I started clicking through and reading this, and it's like, my pull list at Villainous Grounds is about to look very, very weird because it's going to have like six books in it, and only three of them are going to be comics, or three of them are only going to be superhero books.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because especially like, I don't know if you looked through all of the, what we're going to talk about here in a second.
I have looked through the Last God stuff, though, and I am here for it. I am so in. This sounds awesome. This appeals to the best version of the idiot, like, edgelordy.
All right.
Magic the Gathering only buys the cards because of the art book.
So for everybody else. So the Last God book one, it's going to be written by Philip Kennedy Johnson with art by Ricardo Federici and Dean White. And holy crap, this looks awesome. It's a dark high fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So all the bosses are like all the villains that you're seeing in this, like the creatures that you're seeing in this look straight out of a, you know, Dark Souls worst nightmare. And yeah, like,
oh, then I don't want to play it. I don't want to read it. Jesus Christ, I'm tired.
Kind of almost eldritchy horror looking.
And I'm also, like Asa, I'm here for it. I love high fantasy. Like I do. So yeah, no, this looks friggin' sweet. And especially with like how like the quality that we've gotten out of Black Label so far, I'm in. Like
also just, you know, the briefest of snippets. The story will follow a cross-generational quest to kill an evil tyrant king, also known as the Last God, as he seeks to destroy the land of Canaan and Anun. 12-issue series beginning October 30th. Terrifying horror story told in a stunning epic fantasy world. Gimme.
Please.
Gimme.
Please and thank you.
I'm not a high fantasy person, guys.
I'm not a horror
person. But I'm, yeah, I am super excited for you guys.
Just look at that.
That is pretty, yes.
Oh, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful nightmare.
I mean, it's a beautiful nightmare. Yeah, like, it's not, I say pretty. It's made really well.
And here's the thing. Typically, I am also not a high fantasy person, but this kind of set, like, but this kind of tone makes me way more interested.
So, yeah, we've got that, which looks amazing. Yeah, coming out October 30th. Again, hit up Villainous Grounds, because this Black Label stuff,
it's hard to get.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you miss out on it, it's...
Almost missed out on because I forgot to tell them that I wanted the that we talked about a little while ago was the Batman The Last Night on Earth.
I missed that.
Yeah, I almost missed out on it. Like there was two issues left up there.
Yeah, because I remember because I was gonna go buy Batman Damned.
Whenever. Oh yeah, and if you didn't get on the pull list for Damned, you didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. And that's not Villainous Ground's fault. They had many copies. Just it was that sought after.
Yep. Yeah. Because it's it's oversized. It's beautiful artwork. Like really, really high quality stuff, and you know, Batman's penis.
That's why I was gonna buy it. Like, I'm not even gonna act like it's no. I just want a really quality book.
Everyone's curious.
Yeah,
everyone.
And you don't have to feel shady about it because it's not like coming from a leak where you're like, well, I want to see it, but I don't want to invade the person's privacy.
It wasn't this dropped on Twitter. It was.
Y'all, this is canon.
Hitting his ankle, son.
Oh God, we got to stop talking about this. Remember, the show was PG-13.
What did we say wrong?
Said anything graphic?
I mean, we're just talking. Anyway, no, we'll move past it. We're gonna move past it. Those Black Label books are hard to get a hold of, though. So definitely, if you want to pick this one up, get to your local comic shop and get it on your pull list. That is very necessary.
Yes.
All right. The next little bit, also for the DC Black Label, Joe Hill is going to oversee a horror series that's going to be called, it's DC Black Label, Hill House Comics. So far, they have announced 5 books coming out of it. We've got Basket Full of Heads, which
the cover for this one,
horrifying.
Again, like, oh, so I'm getting this. Just the cover and the name, like...
It's kind of silly. We got Joe Hill and Leo Max is working on that. We've also got the Dollhouse Family, written by Mike Carey with art by Peter Gross.
Yeah, that one, the name gets, like, I don't know the creators, because, again, I'm very bad about remembering names of people. Just the name is like, oh, that sounds awful. I want it. Thanks, I hate it.
We've also got The Lolo Woods by Carmen Maria Machado and Danny. We got Daphne Byrne, Laura Marks, and Kelly Jones. And then Plunge by Joe Hill and a to-be-announced artist. Then also each comic is going to come with a two-page backup feature called Sea Dogs that I guess is going to go through it. It's all going to be written by Joe Hill.
Don't like that, because like some of those I'm not as interested in.
Same.
But like I bet I'm going to be interested in Sea Dogs.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because yeah, Joe Hill's great. And then like the website that I looked up had a synopsis, like basically an elevator pitch for each one of those books. But I'm not going to read out all of them. I am going to read Basket Full of Heads, because yeah, if you
send me that website too.
Will do.
Because I'm very curious.
So yeah, we got Basket Full of Heads is the one that we saw the art for, one Ace was talking about a minute ago, which is just like, yeah, yeah, I'll read it. And then I heard the elevator pitch for it, and I'm like, yeah. All right, so here we go. Basket Full of Heads starts with a young couple house-sitting a New England mansion filled with Viking artifacts.
I'm already out.
Coins, shield, even an axe. Then a storm hits and brings with it some invaders. So the girl goes to hide. When she emerges, her boyfriend is nowhere to be found, but one of the assailants has stayed behind for her. In the fight that follows, she reaches for the axe, and we learn the axe has this supernatural power. It can lop off a head in a single stroke.
Any axe can do that if you try hard enough.
But then the head keeps talking.
Okay, that's a trick.
So you get a grindhouse Rashomon as the heads stack up, and each one of them tells their own version of what they've done and why they had to do it.
It's the axe from God of War.
That makes me less interested in it. Like, that sounds a little goofy, given from that artwork that we've seen.
Uh-huh.
I'm probably still going to check out the first issue.
Uh-huh.
But that went a whole different direction than what I was expecting.
Yeah,
can lop off a head with this. Yeah, I've seen Friday the 13th. I've seen some stuff.
And that was not a planned bit, folks. Like, Dalton was like, what's the big deal? They can talk. Oh!
Yeah, no, he didn't. If you pay the dollar for the pre-show, you'll realize he didn't give me that information beforehand.
It's like Cody correcting us in the group chat without listening to where we actually get to the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dalton did that, like, on air.
That
yeah.
was real time.
That was real time. Yeah, no, it sounds really interesting.
You mean this axe is an axe? Ooh. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, and then the dollhouse one is also kind of creepy sounding. Like, there's...
You don't say.
Yeah, like, I definitely recommend checking those out. Like I said, look up the Hill House Comics from DC Black Label. These sound super neat. And again, it's going to be one of those things. Get to your local comic shop, because another one of the big things with comic books, if it's a new title, especially... Like, everybody, like, your comic shop's not going to order a whole lot if a whole lot of people don't have them requested. Because, you know, they're going to order one, maybe three, because it's a new title. Right. And
number ones usually sell. It's going to be the number twos that are going to be hard to get.
We're looking at Batman. Well,
in fairness, like, number ones of, like characters that people are excited about, like, of existing characters sell really well. Number ones of... like new IPs rarely sell well unless it's like introducing a brand new character that is going to be in the universe.
But even still, like those number twos are even the
number twos are something always harder to get. Because
there's something about a number one
that
appeals to people.
And comic shops understand this, so they order extras and the number ones. But yeah, if people aren't ordering them even after the number one, then like they're usually going to order just basically to fill. Like having like books like that on hand is not usually something you find at a local comic shop. The margin isn't high enough for them to have that that overhead sitting there. So anyway, if you're wanting any of these Black Label books, get to your local comic shop. If you're around here, like anywhere within driving distance of Perryville, Missouri, make Villainous Grounds that place, because they're amazing human beings.
If it's Chester, we're so sorry.
Oh God, yeah, you had to drive down like up to St. Louis to come down. Still worth it. Still worth it. Well, I wonder if they still... No, I'm not going to start getting into the local news. anyway, the last little bit of news we got here. Yeah, Marvel did come out with something. Looks like Johnny Blaze is coming back. He's going to be... They got Johnny Blaze Ghost Rider starting up in October. So, yeah.
Is that motorcycle?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because the other one's the car. The name that I can't think of.
Oh, my God, I knew it before you said
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's...
Reyes.
Thank you.
What is his first name? Gabriel Reyes? No, that's not it. Robbie Reyes.
Yeah. I knew it was an alliteration. I knew it was Reyes, but...
Nah, Robbie Reyes. And then don't forget Frank Castle, the most popular Punisher or Ghost Rider in recent...
What's he the Ghost Rider of?
Memory.
Cosmic.
I remember when Asa got that book and started reading through it because I was getting...
I read the number one.
You read the number one.
Yeah,
and
apparently.
And then it turns out, number two, real hard to find.
Yep.
Because also, like, everyone else was insane and decided to that it was great.
Yeah. So when that Marvel Legend comes out, do you want me to buy it for you?
Because that was Donny Cates, right?
It's going like, it's gonna need to look, like, weirdly similar to that strict panel. Then maybe.
So anyway, this next portion of our podcast brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan Prestar to join. You can find all of their content at ps2jshow.com. Last Wednesday of every month is History of Gaming, except they didn't do one for the month of June. However, you can find an episode on there featuring, co-starring the five-star man himself, Asa Gray.
We did it. It was fun.
And Alan's back. He was back this week. It made me happy.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, the episode with you was really good. Like, I'm not...
No, but the actual host returned. Yeah.
Yeah. I was very happy whenever I heard... Well, it was just Alan was the title. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I hope he's on it. And then he started talking. I was like, oh, yay.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a message from Game Freak. We talked about the last week of the week before. Not every Pokemon is going to make it to this game.
Are you going to call this segment what it actually should be called?
No.
Asa was right.
Oh.
Because Asa was right.
Which part was Asa right about? I refreshed my memory.
That this is the new Coke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, so far so good. This is definitely supporting that theory. Because paraphrasing their like three paragraph message.
Word salad.
They're not in this game, but they're not gone forever. Yeah. And that's probably the most polite paraphrasing I can do. It was a whole lot of like nothing in corporate speak.
Yeah, it was all just a bunch of word salad. Like they used a lot of words without saying anything.
Yep.
Other than we understand that you're upset, but just because they're not going to be your favorite won't be in this game doesn't mean they won't be in future games. Which isn't them confirming that they're going to be a national dex in Gen 9, but I would be greatly surprised.
Yep.
Because no, and then like you got like the subreddit going to town on some of the animations that they're showing, and it's like these are worse than what we got in N64. These are the exact same as what we got in the 3DS.
Yeah.
The Dynamax animations are literally the exact same, just slowed down a little bit.
And way bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, I get that the animation is going to be the same. Like, sure, they pop out and they're the same. They're just gigantic. Like, fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not that bummed about that. I am bummed that, like, it's just slightly smoother than what we saw in the 3DS. Like, that seems a little terrible.
Did you see the thing about them losing their mind because of the Wingull?
No.
So it's like, so they're Wingull, so they're flying.
Yeah.
But they're not flapping their wings at all. And then
they're just jetting it.
When they change paths, it's just a immediate 90-degree turn. It's not a gradual thing. They are on a clear plotted point.
It's and a zero granted, turn radius.
It's pre-release. It's, you know, this is all like early stuff, but does not inspire confidence.
No.
In the seeing the Pokemon out in the world before you run into them.
No, that's kind of unfortunate. Man, I was so excited about a main Switch Pokemon game.
Yes.
Like.
Oh no, I'm still excited,
Join
guys.
Join me in the hate.
I'm not, there's no hate. It's just melancholy.
It could be straight turds.
Bummed.
That's step one, baby.
I'm bummed.
I sent Lindsay a message like, so if I wanted to be a crazy person and wanted to like start some sort of living dex, what's the earliest I could go to? Because I don't know why, but maybe it's because I got the emulator on my phone and I'm just mad that I can't do anything with them. Like, if I decided to, it's like, I mean, I could grab, like, a DS, and no, I don't want to spend, I don't want to spend $50 on Heart Gold.
I mean, basically,
or Fire Red or any of those.
If you get a Game Boy Advance, and you get a, like, a new 3DS, you can play every single Pokemon game, up to every single handheld Pokemon game with those two consoles. Because, yeah. Like,
3DS, is the 3DS backwards compatible with the just DS?
Yes. Yep.
I didn't know I didn't know all of them were.
Yeah, the Game Boy Advance will play Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and GBA.
Right.
And then the new 3DS will play DS and 3DS games.
Okay. So you just need You just need the Game Boy Advance for Fire Red and Leaf Green then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Because
you can play the other ones on 3DS.
Oh, guess, yeah, because they remade Ruby and Sapphire.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I forgot about those. Unless you wanted to play Emerald.
Yeah, which, I mean, like,
but that's Omega Ruby and
Omega and Alpha were, yeah, basically Emerald. It's kind of like how Heart Gold and Soul Silver were basically just Crystal, but with the old Pokemon differences.
Right. So you literally just need it for two games, the Advance. That's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, I guess technically.
Because, and then I'm pretty sure there's ways you can transfer from the...
Well, and actually with the 3DS, you can play Red, Blue, and Yellow. You can get them on the
eShop. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like,
yeah, but I wouldn't want to go back and play those. Like, I would want to play Fire Red.
I've played Let's Go Pikachu. Fair. I don't need to play those games anymore.
See, and yeah, that's the other thing.
Also,
I'm not going to do it, but the more I hear about Sword and Shield, the more I just kind of want to go back and play the older ones.
I'm still excited about Sword and Shield.
Heart Gold and Soul Silver are still my favorites.
They're real good.
Because Soul Silver, or Silver and Gold were my... Gen 2 is my favorite generation.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because that's the correct choice. But
I mean, a lot of people would say Gen, was it 4 was the...
Yeah, and those people are still wrong because it's still Gen 2, but like, I'm happy they have an opinion.
Well, anyway. So yeah, Game Freak, yeah, gave us basically nothing. Like, yeah, sorry guys, if your favorite Pokemon is in that list that aren't getting added, which, do we have an official list?
No, we do not.
Okay, because I keep seeing like, basically Pokemon that are kind of unpopular showing up like within colors of like...
Dressed as more popular Pokemon?
Yes. Yeah, those are all great.
Mm-hmm.
But... Yeah, so I was wondering like if there was an official list, and I just kept...
No, people are just kind of guesstimating based on the older Pokemon that we have seen in the Sword Shield trailers.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, oh, well, we haven't seen Gyarados yet, so we're going to dress him like Caterpie because we've seen Butterfree in the Sword Shield.
Right.
So stuff like that.
I also keep seeing like Cyndaquil and Typhlosion are ones that I see a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, they get rid of my boy Cyndaquil? Like,
yeah, we don't know yet.
And we don't know yet. But anyway, yeah, because I love Typhlosion. Anyhow, that's all we got from Game Freak so far. Mm-hmm. We still have no idea then exactly what's not in there. We talked about, I think it was last week, about Jedi Fallen Order.
Mm-hmm.
The gameplay was not indicative of what the game was. It was more of a Metroid-style game, and they gave us the extended gameplay demo, which showed off a lot more of those mechanics.
It's an additional 10 minutes. That was shown behind closed doors at E3. So what they were showing to influencers and journalists, it's that additional footage that kind of tells the tale of, oh, no, there's different planets you can go to. You can choose which order you want to go to them, things like that. So we didn't get, like, a whole lot other than just, like, no, this is kind of EA confirming that that's what this is. And for whatever reason, they decided to wait 2 weeks after E3. Instead of giving us all that information at E3, which they, like, the guy did an interview and he said, like, you know, you need it to be quick, you need it to be comprehensive, you don't want to overburden, like, you don't want to try to say too much, so things got cut, and so it's like, I get it, but I don't know if it was the right call, which that's just all the, you know, benefit of hindsight.
Yeah,
for sure. Because I think they were probably just thinking, like, everybody just wants to see what the gameplay looks like.
They want to see the force, they want to see some force powers, they want to see the lightsaber, and...
Yep, which I still like, you know, we've talked about it in the group chat, I've talked about it a lot before. I just want to see them give me a game where the lightsaber is not like a nerfed baseball bat.
Yeah.
Like,
they did that in one game, didn't they?
Jedi Academy, they did it in one of the
There was like a cheat code that did it in Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
But yeah, Force Unleashed by itself, I don't think. Okay. Like, if you threw, like, there were a lot of enemies that, like, didn't get cut into, nobody got cut into pieces in Force
Unleashed. It was a robot. If it was a robot, it would get cut in half.
We're going to get in this one.
Yeah. They
confirmed, like, there will be dismemberment, but it'll only be droids.
I just, like, come on, you cowards. Like, yeah. Give me a full-powered lightsaber in a video game.
But that directive for there being no dismemberment came from Lucasfilms.
Oh, I understand, because, like, that would probably up it to an M-rated game, mm-hmm. like, if you're dismembering people.
See, it doesn't even necessarily have to, because, like...
It cauterizes the wounds.
It cauterizes it. Like, yeah. we saw
there's no blood.
Darth Maul got cut in half. There wasn't any blood.
Yeah.
Unless they, like, retcon that to his species doesn't bleed.
Well, because there was the original trilogy.
His white lightsaber was weak, and that's why there was blood on the one dude's arm.
I was about to say, there's precedent in the original trilogy for the not cauterizing
it
the
was
wound.
An old, yeah. weak lightsaber. It wasn't as strong. It wasn't as hot. That's the headcanon, guys. And that's actually what a lot of people say. And by people, I mean nerds, me included.
I mean, I'm fine with
it. Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense.
But, yeah, no, I just, like, come on, cowards, give me... like a full powered lightsaber in a video game, because I want, like, give me a, like, I would absolutely love a Dynasty Warrior style game.
Oh God, just like,
but
just
Star Wars.
Let me counter that.
What you got?
X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Give me an M-rated Star Wars game like that. Because that was like, folks, that's one of the greatest movie games of all time.
It's one of the greatest X-Men games of all time.
Yeah, it's significantly better than the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even a close comparison. Yeah, just ripping through people. Oh my God, it was so bloody and great.
The health regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seeing the damage on him.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a remake of that.
I'd be fine with that. That game, that was just shockingly good.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to the movie getting delayed a year and a half.
So they're like, wait,
yeah,
we can put time into this.
We can put actual time into this game and make it good. And they did.
Hold our beers. We have time. Greatness.
So yeah, that's I mean, this game will probably still be really fun. It's going to be really pretty. The force powers are going to probably look really cool. But I just, boy, I want to stop batting people around with a lightsaber. I want to cut through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Force Unleashed was probably my favorite game for that, but it wasn't a cut through thing. Like, just the lightsabers were so much fun in that game.
Yeah, no, the lightsaber combat was fun. It just, like, I should not have to hit things multiple times with a lightsaber unless they are blocking with a lightsaber or a vibroblade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, it should be a one and done.
Right. Like, they try to block with basically anything else in the Star Wars universe, and I just, shink, done.
They just put their E-11 in front of them, and that's also in half with you.
Right? Like, congrats.
Yeah.
Now that's not going to be useful for anybody that finds it.
Or the gun.
Right. Nothing about any of that's going to be useful. But Force Unleashed, though, like, absolutely had probably the most fun force power mechanics in any Star Wars game that I've played. Just like ripping stuff apart, like force shoving like, there's nothing more satisfying than force shoving an army of people off a spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then rain. I remember, like, that was such a big deal that the force powers, like, interacted with the rain, like, if it was raining.
Mm-hmm.
It was huge for Xbox 360 era. You just didn't interact with rain. Rain was just a texture that was there that was not, there's no physics to
it. I'm pretty sure I've never beaten the games.
Really?
No, because I'm just, like, playing stuff. I'm just like, oh, no, I just murder everything.
Yeah. You never got past the first level. You're just like, ripping everything apart.
F-ing up Wookiees as Darth Vader.
Yeah, you get to the Darth Vader bit, and you're like, well, this is all I needed.
Yeah, I just delete the game data, go back, do it again, delete the game data, kill that one Jedi. Should have just killed the kid there, because I've seen spoilers, how it ends.
All right, so anyway, EA Access, there's a little bit of news here. Finally coming to PS4. So for those of you that still haven't jumped on the Xbox One or I guess PC, you'll finally have EA Access coming to PS4, which honestly, not a bad deal. I think it's like $5 a month, and you get
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you get most of EA's games. Like, you just get to play them. I think Battlefront 2 is even on there. We were talking about Star Wars games, and they actually just had a big update. They added like droidicas and a bunch of other stuff. So, I mean, that game's still getting a lot of support. And I think Anthem is on EA Access still.
I don't have it.
Not getting the same level of support.
I mean, well, EA's talking about, like, they're still supporting it. Like, the most recent headline I saw was, like, it's going to be around for generations. I'm like, if you say so.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, they have not had a significant add-on to that game since it released.
Since they did the day one patch.
Because, I mean, they've added extra content to it, just nothing that, like, I really want to go back and play.
Yeah. It was literally just sitting on my shelf. I was like, this is getting...
I want, like,
money, please.
I had so much fun with that game.
Oh, yeah, no, like,
it's
like
so much fun to play.
The handful of times I played with you guys, it was a masterpiece of a game. I loved it.
I just need more to do.
Yeah.
I just want more to do. Anthem, please.
Not everything can be Borderlands 2.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah.
You want more to do?
You got it.
Yeah.
We're still
making DLC for it.
I've beaten that game 6 times in my most recent playthrough. I found out new information in the lore. Like, it's...
In fairness, we knew...
Not even that. I wasn't even talking about that.
Oh, okay. I was like, we knew the entire time. We're just dumb and didn't put 2 and 2 together right away.
No, yeah. The thing about Tiny Tina's parents...
Oh, yeah.
Not the stuff you find out if you just listen to Tina, in her side quest, but like the stuff you find in Echo devices later.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I had never heard that before. It's good stuff. I love Borderlands. Anywho, so we got the last little bit of news we're going to talk about here. We got the full roster of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. There is a distinct lack of X-Men.
And I'm fine with that. There was no Ant-Man. That one bummed me out.
Which, honestly, that was the no Ant-Man is an interesting decision to me.
I'm more bummed about the fact that this is the X-Men roster that we've gotten, and we know that there's going to be like X-Men-themed DLC.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Like, this just feels kind of shady. Because really, when you look at the X-Men, the only real heavy hitters they have are Wolverine, Magneto, and Deadpool. And even Magneto is a.
Like, in terms of heavy hitters, Storm's like, on that list.
Yeah.
You're talking about names?
I'm talking like names.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were talking about
I'm not talking power set. I'm talking like you immediately recognizable, like, household names.
Yeah.
And Storm could be up there. Magneto even is kind of, like, I would almost swap Magneto and Storm there. And Deadpool is almost like on his own at this point. Like, he's been so removed from the X-Men. Like, even in his movies, it's kind of a joke that he doesn't get to play with the other mutants.
In training.
So, but like, yeah, you don't have a Cyclops. You don't have a Gambit, Rogue,
Colossus. Basically, we don't have any of those 90s X-Men that we love so much. Aside from Magneto and Wolverine and Storm and Nightcrawler.
And then we get, and then Psylocke, it looks like, is the other one.
Which, like, that Psylocke to me was an interesting choice because, like, she only got popular, I think, in terms of, like, the most recent movies because Olivia Munn was playing her. But she had no real role in the movie.
No, I mean, but I wouldn't even say, like, I think she's usually a mainstay on, like, the X-Force.
I mean, yeah, like, if you're going to comic books, but, like...
Which is what this feels like it's more modeled after, I would think.
Well, yeah, the characters are modeled after comic books, but, like, the people that are in this are modeled after, like, who's pop, like, the movies.
I don't agree with that fully.
Because Ant-Man's not on it.
I mean, and
it looks like Wasp is.
But we got
which
Spider.
Blows my mind a little.
Yeah, we got all that noise.
We got Spider Gwen. We got Miss Marvel. We got Elsa Bloodstone.
They were just like, who sells the most shirts at Hot Topic?
Those are the only three characters on this list that haven't been in a movie, though.
I mean, if you're counting and the Netflix, if you're counting the Netflix shows and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And technically, Miss Marvel and Elsa Bloodstone are the only ones that haven't been in a movie. Because you had Into the Spider-Verse made Miles and Gwen stupid popular.
Yeah.
Yeah, which they were already.
I mean, they were...
Yeah, comic books wise, yes, they were ridiculously popular. But
they were also both, I'm pretty sure, were both on the cover of Marvel, Lego Marvel 2.
Is that Jessica Jones between Drax and Luke Cage? Did they make her a redhead?
No, I don't think that's Jessica Jones.
Oh, and then not all the defenders. Yeah,
Jessica
are.
Jones isn't on there.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting choice. And I'm also not sure, like, so I'm looking at between, all right, so folks, like, so you know what we're looking at here if you want to play along at
home.
We
should probably put this in the comments on Facebook.
Possibly. They leaked when I say they leaked the roster, it's not in a list. We got to see a screenshot, basically, of the Choose Your Hero screen.
Someone took a photo of it.
Not even a screenshot. It's a photo. Like, you can see it on a TV. And, we got a lot of the characters that have been confirmed already with a lot of the art and stuff like that. So, like, I'm pretty confident that this is not fake. I'm looking at here between Black Panther and Hawkeye, like... That looks a whole lot like Wasp, right? Like, or is that...
No, that's either Wasp or Maria Hill.
Oh, I guess that could be Maria.
But I think that, but given what's on her ears, like, that looks like... I'm willing to bet that's Janet Van Dyne.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Falcon's in the game, guys. I'm not worried about having a main until those... Yeah, I'm square.
Yeah. Falcon is in the game. Sam Wilson.
I got my main.
Cap, Tony, Thor, Hulk, Daredevil, Elektra...
So I'm wondering, like, who that is next to Cage. Is that Angela or...
Ooh, that would be a good choice.
She's there with the Guardians.
Yeah.
Like, she's with the rest of the Guardians.
Scarlet Witch is in the game, too. That's going to be neat.
But no Quicksilver, which is really what's making me think movies. But then we got Elsa Bloodstone, which nobody knows who that is except
to say. That was the one I had to ask.
Yeah, I was only vaguely aware of her before we got her in a trailer. But yeah, like the main five of the Guardians of the Galaxy are in there.
I do like that Rocket and Groot are one character.
Yeah, yeah, that's neat. I like that a lot.
So it looks like, yeah, we have three out of the four Defenders from the Netflix shows. We also got, yeah, Doctor Strange is on there. Ghost Rider's on there.
Miss Marvel. I'm excited that she's in it.
Yeah, Kamala Khan, Miss Marvel.
Next to Captain Marvel. I'm also excited that she's in it.
Yes. But yeah, no, I think...
Because I don't think... No, Captain Marvel or Miss Marvel was in one of the Ultimate Alliance games.
Yeah, she was in, before she was Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Because she has only been Captain Marvel since like 2000.
After the games came out.
Yeah. Like 2011 or something like that. 2011, 2012 is when she became Captain Marvel.
I mean, you're ballparking because I think Ultimate Alliance 2 was 2010.
She would have had to be, somewhere in that range. Yeah. I don't remember.
But I don't think that character was in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2.
I don't remember.
I know for a fact she was in 1, but I don't know 2.
Because like Carol's timeline is just in general real weird. Yes, Asa?
Just remembered the other two DLC that we're getting. So it's X-Men, Fantastic Four, and Marvel Knights.
Oh, so, yes, that's probably what we're going to get.
We've seen other stuff confirm that, been other footage where Jessica Jones and Cyclops are NPCs. They're, like, giving missions.
Yeah.
So they could become playable.
At some point.
Iceman's the one I want. So, and if they're giving me X-Men, like, I want it to be Iceman, Colossus, and, like, Sabretooth.
This is just strictly speculative from a Reddit post in the comments, but, like, the Fantastic Four, you would get the four and then possibly Doom. X-Men, Cyclops, Colossus, Rogue, Gambit, Iceman, which makes sense. And then Marvel Knights, Blade, Nick Fury, Punisher, Jessica Jones, and Shang-Chi.
You're going to do Marvel Knights without Moon Knight?
Moon Knight was also in the first game.
I mean, if you're going by, they're going off of MCU, yes. Nah, okay. Shang-Chi's getting a movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Some reason.
But anyway, yeah, no, I'm still excited about this game. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and as long as I've got Spider-Man, Daredevil, and Cap, like I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. Like I'm happy. So yeah, and Spider-Gwen's awesome. Captain Marvel being on there is awesome. Like we have enough characters.
It's just the secondary tier characters that, you know, I don't feel get a lot of representation because it is always, you know, the same. I don't think there was ever a question that Captain Marvel was going to be in this game.
Right. No, not
like
a one.
Things like that.
And like same thing with like the OG, like the big four from the Avengers. Yeah. Everybody knew those guys were going to be in there.
Like but, I don't, and it's the same, it, but it's the same thing of like, I guarantee you I'm not going to get like anybody to be super excited for in the Crystal Dynamics Avengers game. So my only real chance is like the Lego games where everyone just plays the same. And this one, where everyone kind of plays the same.
A little bit.
I just started Lego Incredibles 2 today. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. I also forgot I bought that game.
You play Mario Maker.
Yeah.
See, I still just going back here for a second, and I know I say it like every time we talk about this stuff. Bring back Marvel Heroes, please. God, I loved that game. That was so much fun. And it had like... so many characters to play as, and they all played pretty differently.
It's one of those things that it's a bummer that game got shut down right when I got my gaming laptop.
Yeah,
because I would have played the crap out of that game.
I mean, I was playing the free version on
PlayStation. Free on PC as well. The only reason it wasn't free for me and Shannon is because we wanted it in the beta.
Yeah,
and there was just that awesome pack that you got paid us for the Founders beta and a bunch thing. Of other stuff. Yeah, we bought a Founders pack.
I honestly thought about buying, because you could like go back and buy that at any point and get the same unlocks.
Yeah,
I thought about doing that, and then literally, maybe 2 weeks after I decided not to, is when they announced that they were shuttering it. I was like,
the first time I came in,
dodge that bullet.
Mm-hmm. First time I came into the store, like independent of Acer or anything, like literally, I just came in as a customer. I was looking for Marvel Ultimate Alliance for like 360.
Mm-hmm.
And Shannon said, "You should try to play Marvel Heroes if you have a laptop that can support it." And I did, and I enjoyed it, but my laptop was garbage. And I didn't have a computer to like run it well until it shut down.
Yeah, well, no, long after, honestly.
Because it got moved to consoles before it.
Yeah,
that game was fun, and I really wish that, like, I was really hoping that and I guess it might still be a little similar, the Square Enix Crystal Dynamics game, like, it'll look like. Like, I want to know what the multiplayer content is going to look like on that, and gameplay in general, because I'm confident that all we've gotten are cinematics and quick time events.
Yep,
that's all we've seen so far. I'm very sure. So yeah, I don't know. I want to see the return of Marvel Heroes in general. Like, you guys know me, I'm a big fan of that. The dungeon crawling, like, you know, loot grind, right. Like isometric view stuff. And that's what Marvel Heroes was. Like,
it was Marvel Diablo.
Marvel Diablo. And it was great. I miss it so much. Anyway, all right, guys, that's going to do it for our show. Oh, Asa, real quick, you mentioned Mario Maker. Give me like a minute and a half. Like, what do you think so far? First impressions?
Really good. I haven't spent a lot of time in the creator mode. So I don't know. I haven't spent any time in the creator mode with the controller, which I know a lot of people aren't super happy with. But apparently you can get used to it pretty quickly. Mm. I don't think using only your finger is as bad as a lot of people seem to make it sound like it is. But I would definitely recommend getting a stylus. Like, it was just a little bit easier. It was just easier to do with a stylus because I went and picked one up. That said, story mode stuff is great. I'm a little over halfway through the 100 levels that they've given us, and they've given me some very dastardly ideas of things that I would like to make but won't be able to actually publish because I probably won't be able to beat it because I'm not that good at Mario. But that's fun. Those levels are fun. They've replaced the 99 Mario Challenge with endless mode. So pretty much it's you choose your difficulty still. So there's easy, normal, hard, and expert. And essentially you start with like 10 lives or 5 lives, something like that. And then you just progress your way and you try to get a high score of how many levels you can beat. But you still get the thing where you can get up to 3 lives per level, and those carry over. Mm-hmm. So if I start this level with like 6 lives, I die twice, but I get... Then I'm going into the next one with 7.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if I don't die at all and I get the max of 3 lives, then I get to start the next one with 10. So you can just kind of keep going on and on until you hit one that you just can't do, and then you can still skip.
I was about to say, I was wondering if that skip option was available.
You can still skip, but it still costs you a life type deal, and you don't progress, so, like, your score doesn't go up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of fun. Like I said, I haven't spent as much time in the creator mode as I would have liked, because I'm just addicted to the story and just playing through those levels. I haven't spent a whole lot of time also like searching for. I need to get Barry's creator ID.
About to say,
he
Barry
got published
was,
in a book.
Yeah, our friend Barry got published in a book for his levels.
Nice. Cause
like,
yeah, he's it's the one that used to work with Lonnie.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was in that group.
The little club, yeah.
Yeah,
he, like, his levels were, like, borderline game shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he literally showed me a level one time. I was like, figure it out. And I was like, dude, I'm dumb. You know this. He's like one of my dear friends. I was like, you know I'm stupid as all get out. Why would you expect me to figure this out? He's like, no, watch the turtle show. I'm like, that doesn't tell me anything. No,
so, he made some really cool stuff. And, like, people are making, like, going, because I'm also on YouTube a lot just watching, like, playthroughs.
Yeah.
And there's some like really, because it's stuff that I will never see. Because that's the thing with Mario is Mario Maker is an infinite amount of Mario. Like, you will probably never need another 2D Mario game ever.
Game Theorist did a video about it and they had to make a new number. Because, like, literally the options of it were mm-hmm. endless. So it was like a Marioplex.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. There's a lot of really cool stuff. I'm excited to, you know, go more into it. I want to play some of... I don't know if Shannon's picked it up yet. I'm assuming he has.
Definitely has.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he definitely did. I saw it on Friday.
Okay. So, I'm excited just, like, because he made some really cool stuff with the first one.
Yeah, his levels were really neat.
And now that, you know, it's on a platform that people actually have, instead of being locked behind a terrible Wii U, I'm so excited to just explore more into this.
This is going to explode because, I mean, they were already, like... I mean, the Mario Maker, the first one, was selling Wii U consoles.
Yeah.
And it was super fun. Like, and I will probably end up buying this one at some point just because, like, I love, like, playing platformers, like Mario platforming. It's mm-hmm. super fun to me. So, yeah, like, the idea of just being able to, like, even if I don't want to do, like, the excruciatingly difficult ones, mm-hmm. just, you know, run through a bunch of levels. There's a never-ending amount of Mario levels I can just run through.
Yep. Yeah.
It's really cool. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us this week. Just as a heads up, starting next week, which will be the first Nerd Up in July, we're going to move to Monday nights. That way we can avoid morning shows for the future. We'll have us at Podzilla 1985. We'll have the weekend off. So we'll just, and you know, we'll just be putting out content for you guys Monday through Thursday. Be a little nicer all around, I think, for everybody. So if you don't see a Nerd Up next Sunday, that's why. We're doing Monday Nerd Up from now on. Also, just one quick thing. If you're enjoying this show, head over to iTunes and review it. Like, review Podzilla 1985 on iTunes. I found out some stuff about the logistics of iTunes reviews. Mm-hmm. So if everybody listening here to this show will go to iTunes and just quickly give that a 5-star real quick, that'd be super cool. And we'd really, really, really appreciate it.
Yes.
All right. That's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you so much. And, yeah, we'll see you next time.